So today's message comes from Luke chapter 12, beginning with the 13th verse. And Jesus at this moment is teaching. And someone out in the crowd said, "Teacher, order my siblings to give me a fair share of the family inheritance." And Jesus replied, "What makes you think that it's any of my business to be the judge or mediator for you?" And speaking to the people, Jesus went on, "Take care, protect yourselves against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot." Let me read that again so that soaks in. "Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot." He then told them a story. A farm of a certain rich person produced a terrific crop. And that person said to themselves, "What can I do? My barn isn't big enough for this harvest." Then they said, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down the old barns and build bigger ones. And then I'll gather all my grain and goods, and I'll say to myself, 'Self, you've done well, you've got it made, and now you can retire. Take it easy and have the time of your life.' Just then, God showed up and said, 'Fool, tonight you die, and your barn full of goods, who gets them?'" That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God. This is the good news of Jesus the Christ. Although I'm sure some of you sitting there listening to that go, "Well, no, that wasn't exactly good news, Pastor. This was kind of a downer. Because I don't want to think about this," right? And, you know, I know a lot of pastors, and a lot of pastors don't like preaching this sermon. You know where you hear this sermon? You know where this gets its big reading? It's in those evangelical mega churches, right? Because right after they read this, they're asking you to take out your checkbook. They're asking you to feel pretty damn guilty about how you are
accumulating
your wealth, whether you're working hard to put money away, et cetera, et cetera. I want you to know this morning that's really bad theology. That is not what this passage is about. The passage gets set up, doesn't it, with the dude that's out in the crowd. And listen, I want to tell you this morning, I know something about this because I have recently been interrupted by folks in my family wanting their right inheritance. Amen? Amen?
I was
gonna
say,
oh, yeah.
I'm just pretty sure this would hit home for you. Exactly.
Listen. You know,
it's taking too long.
You know, I always tell people in this church, if you think I'm talking about you, don't move or react, and nobody will know that it was you that I'm talking about. So the same things for those of you at home that might be listening. If you hear this and you think I'm referencing you, just don't move and nobody will know. Amen. However, I got to tell you that, yeah, this relates to me. My mother, when she passed away, I was second in line, and somehow I ended up being the executor of the will, or her estate, I should say. And one of her only and biggest assets is what? Her house. She'd had that house for a long time, and so we got to sell it and put it on the market. I had a deal put together. Well, actually, my mother had a deal put together because the people that lived across the street from her were loved by her dearly. And so she, when she passed away, wanted to make sure they had that house. So I went to them and said, "Okay, the way I understand this is you got to make a serious offer, and here's what has to be done." Folks, they met every qualification, and they made a serious offer. Guess what happened? when I got to the estate lawyer, the estate lawyer says, well, you can't do this yet right away.
You've got to wait 60 days.
Why? Well, because your obligation as the executor of the will is to make as much money for the benefactors of the will as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you want to do this in a way that will not contest the will and get it tied up in court. Hello, let's stop there for a minute. Did you hear what I said in the beginning? My mother wanted her house to go to. What is there to contest? That fits in with this, because this is what it's all about, folks. This is not about how we get our wealth, but it is definitely about our attitude on the way there. Amen? How many of you are familiar with Micah from the Old Testament? One of our primary scriptures comes from Micah.
Okay.
I want to give you this one, though. This comes from the third chapter, beginning with the seventh verse, about a conversation between God and the folk. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a person rob God, yet you rob me? But you ask, how do we rob you? In your tithes and your offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and the vines, and your fields will not cast their fruit. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. And by the way, if you were listening to this and you thought that this had to do with money, it doesn't. It is called having a relationship with God, and that God comes first. It is about an attitude that you have in that relationship. When they talked about the tithe in those days, it wasn't like we talk about it today, like 10% of your money. It was 10% of your money, 10% of your property, and 10% of your time. Hello, you think we're going to get that today in the church?
Or talent.
No. Or talent, exactly. But the point was that you were giving that back to God and living in community. In other words, taking care of each other. Amen? One of the things that I learned in my mother's transition from this world to the next was that she had so many friends and community around her that she was able to actually be able to die at home. There were people there to take care of her. There were people there that brought meals when she was getting weaker. There were people there to clean her house, all those kinds of things, because they saw themselves as a community. It had nothing to do with anybody's wealth or how wealthy they were. It was all a matter of attitude. And when God says, return to me, God says, return with an attitude that is good, that is relationship-based, that is about taking care of one another.
Or returning some of what I've given.
Now, I got to admit, this morning I learned something new. I always thought the word covet, stay with me here, I always thought it meant steal. You know, take something that wasn't yours. You know, you shouldn't covet your neighbor's wife, et cetera, et cetera. All right, as I'm getting ready for this, apparently Jesus didn't, the newer translation uses the word greed. In the old translations, the Aramaic was translated into covetousness. Say that real fast when you've had too much to drink. And I sat there and I went, wait a minute, why are we talking about stealing? Well, when you look up the Greek and the meaning of the Greek, this is actually what covetous actually meant. And I know there's a bunch of you out there that already knew, and this was just a learning moment for me. Covetous means wanting more of what you already have enough of. Wanting more of what you already have enough of. Yes, by modern understanding, that is definitely greed, is it not? But it also changes the way we look at the scripture. This is not about wealth. This is all about attitude. This is all about how do you measure yourself? Do you measure yourself by the one in the capitalistic society that when you die, if you have the most toys, you win? Because that's when we hear God say, hey, dummy, tonight you're coming home, and this stuff ain't coming with you. Have you made plans to take care of the folks that come after you? You see, this is not all about, folks, increasing your wealth. It is about being greedy, envious, or a lack of sharing. This person in the story that Jesus talked about, where he says, look, give me my fair share. He apparently already has decided that he's getting screwed on this deal. And doesn't that sound familiar with families? But the attitude is, if you have a relationship with God and you're concerned about the people around you, whatever is given to you, you will take as a blessing. I think if I wanted to put anything out there today, is this. It's not about what you think you deserve. It is not about how you measure yourself. It is absolutely about how do you expand on your relationship with God. And it is so clear in Scripture. The way we expand on that relationship is what? By loving one another. By our services to one another. And whatever comes your way ought to be counted as a blessing. Did you see this week's Welcome to the New Week? It kind of sums all this up in one place. See, this is the tie-in. Let us not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. So right now, therefore, every time we get a chance, let us work for the benefit of all and start with the people that are closest to us in our community. You see, Jesus' message isn't about your wealth. It's about your attitude. God bless you this morning.